This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, so where do you think Tank is on the list of defensive ends in the NFL? A lot of people, Kevin, and this is really infuriating, and I know Kevin's one of these people, thinks that Tank had a bad year.
Yes.
It wasn't a bad year. The numbers for his sacks were down.
A bad year for the money.
And I think yesterday when we had Broadus on, you could see the two different philosophies kind of chiming through. Because we had Broadus on yesterday for the Power Hour, Kevin. I mean, do you remember that?
Yes. It just happened.
Have you heard that he's going to be on with the G-Bag Nation?
What?
Starting on Monday.
When did that get decided?
It was yesterday.
Oh, I guess I don't remember.
But he was asking you, and he was kind of poking and prodding you, and you are, look, here's the money.
Yep.
You got paid for sacks.
Yep.
And Broadus is, yeah, I think you paid for more than that. And he provided that other thing rather than just the sacks.
Now, what defensive linemen get paid for.
Just like the mindset of the Joey Gallo. I don't get paid for walks. I get paid for home runs.
Yep.
And so there's a difference in that. I don't think everybody agrees with you, and I don't think everybody disagrees with you either. I think there are a lot of people that are split on that because he took a huge chunk of your cap away. A huge chunk of your cap that you may have been able to use to, maybe that's going to cost you a Chris Jones. Maybe that's going to cost you the talent that you meet. Maybe it cost you Ndamukong Suh, if there was ever an interest there.
Sure.
But we wanted to kind of see where Tank Lawrence falls on this list. By the way, coming up very soon, we have some Rolling Stone tickets to give away.
Oh,
in this hour.
My God.
In this hour, Shippy. We will be giving away some Rolling Stones tickets.
Do they still have it?
What's your favorite Rolling Stones song? That's a good question.
Paint It Black.
We'll do 3 hours.
Should I stay or should I go?
3 hours of that discussion coming up soon. But Kevin, where do you think Tank is on the all the defensive ends list this year?
I think he's like a fringe top 10. Guy, which again, that's problematic too, because we talk so much about Zeke already got paid to be the highest paid running back. He's not the best running back. Tank got paid to be one of the best, or excuse me, DeMarcus got paid to be one of the top two or three defensive linemen. He's not. Amari's going to get paid to be one of the top two or three receivers. He's not. And Dak is going to be paid like he's the best quarterback, and he's not. That is terrible. That is your four marquee players who get paid the most, and none of them are as good as their requisite salary. That's a problem.
All right, number one on this list. This is from John Owning over at the Dallas Morning News. By the way, I think John Owning does some phenomenal work. Check him out on Twitter. He's got some really good breakdowns and analysis there. Number one, Cameron Jordan.
Wow.
From the New Orleans Saints. Right. 53 tackles, 83 total pressures, 15 and a half sacks, and 31 stops.
Wow.
You don't think that Tank was the best defensive end on your team last year then, based on that?
No. Robert Quinn.
Huh.
Look, this team and this defense talked about needing to make impact plays. Who made more impact plays, Robert Quinn or DeMarcus Lawrence? It was Robert Quinn.
All right, I understand that, because a second down sack can be an impact play.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of the other stuff I think factors in, but I understand.
Not to say that those other plays aren't important, like stopping a run. Absolutely,
at the goal line,
that's important.
But it doesn't. But stopping a run at the goal line doesn't get counted.
I count that as an impact.
Nobody counts it in a stat.
No,
so you can't look at the stats and be like, "Oh man, he had 16 stuffs at the goal line."
Yeah,
you know.
No, you're right. It's just this defense was so desperately in need of impact plays.
Applying pressure was to help the secondary.
Yes,
because what you did last year, Kevin, you saw the Cowboys secondary was really good. Really good, but they were also getting so much pressure up front, it allowed their secondary to be better. And in addition to that, because they were so good at all those things, their linebackers were better too. And that's why in the game against the Seahawks, Chris Carson couldn't get anything going, and Russell Wilson was trying to save the game at the end, and the Cowboys were able to shut it down. But against the Rams, once they kind of exposed the Cowboys' defensive philosophy, that's whenever everything changed for that team. So I see what you're saying there, but I still think there's all sorts of philosophies on that. Number two, we're going to talk about him in the next segment, Kevin. Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
29 tackles, 49 pressures, 10 sacks, and 20 stops in 10 games.
Wow.
Now, there was a suspension.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
We
will talk more about him specifically in the next segment, which is sure to get some feedback, and we definitely want to hear your feedback.
His pass rush productivity rating, Kevin, which measures pressure created on a per-snap basis,
okay,
with weighting towards sacks, 9.7 was the highest of his career and tied for 6th among all edge defenders.
Okay.
He's only 24 years old. That's
good
pretty
night.
Frightening.
All right. I see you.
Yeah. And he remember when he wanted to be traded to the Cowboys, or he wanted Jerry Jones to go get him?
Yes. Look, I could construct a super team off of people who wanted to be here.
All right. Number three, J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I mean, J.J. Watt is somebody that if he could get back to being consistently healthy again, then look out.
24 tackles, 52 pressures, 4 sacks, and 14 stops in 8 games.
Wow.
8 games!
So you could theoretically double all of that. But, I mean, he has trouble staying healthy, obviously.
For comparison's sake, Kevin, Za'Darius Smith, who led the NFL in total pressures with 93, only had 3 games with 10-plus pressures. He played in all 16 regular games.
Wow. All right. He good.
J.J. Watt finished 3 different games with at least 10 pressures.
Jeez.
3 different games with
out
at least 10
eight.
Times. Danielle Hunter, Minnesota
Vikings. Hey, J.J.
Vikings. No, Danielle Hunter now, Arnold.
Hasta la vista,
that
baby.
That is who he was talking about. Yeah. I wonder what he thinks about, like, the Texans team as a whole, though. I don't know.
You and the Texans are fantastic.
Well, they were good, but, you know, they did lose.
Yeah, we didn't make the
playoffs. You didn't lose today.
Yeah. Yes, ah,
today.
Take that.
You always will be winners.
God, I want Arnold to hype me up.
Danielle Hunter.
March forward.
Oh, my God. Of the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin.
That's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
70 tackles, 88 okay. pressures, 14.5 sacks, and 36 stops. That should be enough to garner him that $19 million contract like Tank, right?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah, he was really good this year on top of rushing the passer. Hunter is also a productive run defender. So he got 14.5 sacks and was a good run defender. Somebody said, hey, let's look at Quinn at run stopping versus Lawrence. Please discuss that because I have no idea.
Sure. I'd definitely take Lawrence in the run stopping department for sure. But I don't know. Like, to me, that's not enough to make up the gap, especially when you include the money. Like, I have to include the money. I just do because that changes the expectations.
Low hanging fruit, according to Broadus.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Joey Bosa, Los Angeles Chargers. 67 tackles, 71 pressures, 11.5 sacks, 49 stops right there.
Obviously the selections of Bosa's at the top of the draft have turned out quite well for both of those teams.
Number 6, Calais Campbell. We tried getting the Cowboys to get him last year.
No, we're going to pass on that. You know what's interesting now is
35 stops this year.
Wow. You just said number 6?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if nothing else, real quick, here we are at number 6. And still no DeMarcus Lawrence.
Right.
Interesting.
Number 7, Nick Bosa.
Yeah, like I said, if you take a Bosa high in the draft, it's worked out pretty well for you.
And at number 8 is Tank Lawrence.
Wow.
16 games, he had 45 tackles, 56 pressures, 5 sacks, and 28 stops.
But you just think about, like, the 56 pressures. I mean, we already went through somebody who had 90. So that's, like, a ginormous gap. And I'm not saying he was just not a good player this past season, but he wasn't good for what you paid him. And that's the thing. And I saw some people saying, yeah, he was rehabbing from an injury and stuff, and I can appreciate that to a certain extent. But you also have to keep in mind, his rehab was behind because he was playing contract hardball. You know, and I know the Cowboys were too, but look, I just want the players to be here because I love this team and I want them to win no matter what. And so he said, I'll wait to have shoulder surgery until we get this deal done. That slowed down his recovery. That might have had something to do with his slow start or his slow run in the season. And if that's the case, that's his own fault.
He was a dominant run defender, finished third among starting edge defenders in run stop percentage. So 9.8 behind only Joey Bosa and Trey Flowers this year.
Okay. Interesting that we haven't heard his name
despite the lack of sacks, Lawrence did produce as a pass rusher, 56 total pressures while being double teamed at the fifth highest rate among edge defenders. I'm going to try and check out and see who were the first four to see it.
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald's always double
teamed. Wasn't he double teamed on like 85% of his snaps like halfway through the season?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that stat when they were on Monday Night Football, and it just blew my melon.
From the 817, he was eighth out of roughly 64 defensive ends. Like, I just assume you factor out two per team. And that's obviously good. But my point was this, is you're paying him to be a top two. And he's eighth. That's a big drop off. You're going to pay Dak the number one for quarterback, and he's what? 8 to 10. That's a big drop off. You're paying Zeke to be the best, and he's, you know, fringe top five. That's a big drop off. And you're going to pay Amari top two or three, and he's a fringe top tenner. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's a big drop off. At every single spot.
John Owning says pressures are more stable year to year than sacks. And so if that helps you find an indication, his pressures were still among the highest in the NFL. And so that he can return to double-digit sack production. He also helped create a handful of sacks for his teammates, if you look at the numbers too, because of the double teams that he was taking on. He finished third among all edge defenders in ESPN's pass rush win rate metric. I don't know what that means, Kevin, but I'm sure you do because, you know, you like logarithms and stuff.
Sure.
Which measures how often a pass rusher can beat his block within 2.5 seconds.
Okay, and I appreciate that. And, like, I get the pressures thing. So just the example I would use is...
He was consistently beating blocks in a timely fashion at a higher rate than all but two edge defenders in the league.
Okay.
Just getting home was, you know... For whatever reason, it didn't add up or accumulate.
That's what you get paid for. Like, you get paid, at the end of the day, you get paid the most for that last half second, right? And if he was making $12, $14 million, then that's fine. That would be requisite to what he's producing.
Do you think he can get back to it next year? Rehab, full off season, get back to it.
I'm hopeful.
Okay. I think he can, and I think the Cowboys knew defensive approach will probably allow him to as well.
Just the only hesitation I have with that, and this was the hesitation going into him getting paid, is he's had more than 8 sacks twice in 6 years.
Yeah.
Now, part of that has been because of injury. Part of that has been because
most of
other
it's been
issue.
Because of injury.
Not actually, really
oh,
not.
Yeah, because
he had suspension issues as well. But yeah, more than 8 sacks twice in 6 years.
Number 9, Jadeveon Clowney, and number 10, Trey Flowers. So there you go.
Jadeveon Clowney is number 9, huh?
Yeah, 3 sacks. 3 sacks in 13 games.
Interesting. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the fan. Coming up next, Tolos, let's have a real conversation about Myles Garrett. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. Myles Garrett said again that Mason Rudolph called him the N-word. What should be the repercussions if he's lying? And what should be the repercussions if Mason did say that? Talk about all of that next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Shippy. On Monday, we will be joined by Mike Bacsik. Brian Broaddus is taking his spot at the G-Bag Nation.
What?
Bacsik is, he's got a couple things lined up, Kevin. One, his family is important to him, and that's a good thing. He didn't get to spend as much time. I get that, man. We've been there before.
What do you guys do when you hear bullets shot in your neighborhood?
Duck, Mike.
Happens in his neighborhood.
But his family was big to him. And so he said, hey, I would like to spend more time with my family if I can. And working in the middle of the day helped him out with that. Plus being able to do the Rangers games at night. Like, that's a big benefit to us, I believe, Kevin, is that he can be out there at those games, get involved in those conversations with them, and then come in the next day and deliver some great news and information.
Will he get enough sleep to not be crabby?
No.
Okay.
No, especially West Coast games and stuff like that. We're screwed whenever he has to deal with those games, man. So
great.
Yeah.
Thanks for selling that part.
I'm looking forward to very upset Mike Bacsik.
Great.
But right now, Kevin, I want to do something real quick. Let's give something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10.
I love this song. Now. He just...
Now we'll win a pair of tickets to go see the Rolling Stones at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Friday, May 29th. This is the last Rolling Stones giveaway we've got this week, maybe ever. Caller number 10, 877-881-1053.
It's a fantastic song right there. I hope they perform that one for you at the Cotton Bowl.
I mean, surely, right?
Yes, one of the best. All right, Kevin, let's go ahead and dive in on this conversation. Because, and I think we have audio of this. I do believe we
do
have some audio
Cut
from this.
14.
This that is correct, sir.
Myles Garrett was suspended for taking off Mason Rudolph's helmet and bashing him over the head with it.
Right.
And then there was a lot that happened after that. He had a 6-game suspension. He's been reinstated.
Right.
At the time, it was revealed that Mason Rudolph said a term that is unacceptable. And for some reason, it just kind of disappeared. Here's Myles Garrett talking about that.
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't like, I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A, E-R. To me personally, just shouldn't be said. And whether it's known by family, friends, anyone. And I don't want to use it because I don't want to find that appropriate around me for anyone to use. So when he said it, you know, it kind of sparked something, but I still tried to let it go and still walk away. And once he came back, it kind of reignited the situation.
All right. So here's my question. And so a lot of people are saying, I don't know, because it's he said, he said. Fair enough. Let's say, but like everything, you got the parabolic mics and everything is recorded all over the NFL. Let's say they can go back to this exact moment. And I want you guys to give us some insight on either one of these scenarios at Autoflex Leasing Fantex 877-881-1053. Let's say that it's proven that Myles Garrett is lying and Mason Rudolph didn't say that. Should there be additional repercussions for Myles Garrett for trying to trash the reputation of Mason Rudolph by calling him a racist? And then on the flip side, if it is proven that Mason Rudolph did say just that, what should be the repercussions for Mason Rudolph for that kind of hate speech?
Here's what I'm about to do. I'm about to say two different punishments.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem equal.
I mean, and I bet a lot of texts come in like that.
Because earlier, Kevin, we laughed about Chris Jones saying to Tom Brady, you old MF-er.
Yeah.
You need to retire, MF-er.
Sure.
But MF-er is not the same as the N-word.
Nope.
If Mason Rudolph said that, I honestly think he should be suspended too.
Four?
And I'm fine if he's suspended forever.
Forever?
Yeah, man.
Fascinating.
Lifetime ban. All right. Wow. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Wow. Like,
come on,
okay.
Man. We're not past that as a society at this point. If you use a term like that, come on, man. And on the other side, with Myles Garrett making that up, there needs to be a pretty massive lawsuit if that's the situation.
Okay.
Like and he just said it openly in an interview, right? So you've slandered somebody. You've slandered their name. So that's something that I don't think is you can't replace that. You can't make up for it. So and that's two different things to me.
All right, there's a whole bunch of...
But again, Kevin, you're right. Because you can figure this out so quickly. There are microphones everywhere. Players 100%. Are mic'd up. There were many players around him at the time. They must have heard something.
And I know his teammates came out and said he didn't say that. But that's fine. I also get you defend the locker room culture, and I kind of wonder about that. But if there was audio that could prove it, then you'd know either way. From the 817, 4-game additional ban for the lie, lifetime ban if true. From the 469, I think either one should be suspended for the whole season. The 972, yes, you punish either side if it's proven. And from the 214, and this is interesting. Bigger question is, why do you, now I like this because this is a stupid question, but let's get into it. Why do you two white guys always claim people of color are lying? It's a stupid question because that's not what I said at all. We literally proposed both sides of the argument. So if you're going to bring that garbage in here, do better. Sorry. All right.
Don't apologize for that.
I will not. I guess I did.
You
I guess
did. You
I, was,
did,
I guess
Kevin.
I did.
Yeah, all you right, confused
so
me with your
turns
words.
Turns out I'm the liar. So, I mean, but that's why I think it's relevant. And that's what I wanted to know, the differentials of the punishment. Because, you know, I'm always curious how people kind of maybe not rank these things as the right, but how do people prioritize certain things? And it's like, is having your character trashed and being called a racist, what is that versus clearly throwing out hate speech or anything like that? So that's why I was curious about that. And man, I know I understand everybody in the room here is white, but I hate the idea that I would obviously be against Myles Garrett. If anything, I would be pro Myles Garrett because he went to Texas A&M. It's as simple as that. And race plays a huge issue in obviously this topic. So to just ignore all these issues is nonsense. So we can totally have a conversation, but just do better.
Oh, man, the texts are coming in at such a fast pace, I can't even figure out where they are. But one person said, wouldn't Mason have already filed a lawsuit if he hadn't said it? Well, he did. His lawyer already said, we're going to be filing a lawsuit about this. But then it went away.
And then he just brought it back.
The NFL just kind of was and I don't know what they said because the NFL hasn't exposed the information. And I really thought, and this is why I'm so curious about this, Kevin, because I thought that the NFL would want to go ahead and put everything out there in the first place. Why did this happen? What triggered somebody to, in front of 70,000 people, 80,000 people, yeah. I don't know how many that stadium holds, rip off somebody's helmet and attack somebody with a weapon?
Yep.
Because that's clearly blind rage in an already violent sport. And yeah, man, this is a violent sport already, so that's already happening, and it picked up and took off. So what caused that? And Kevin, I'm curious to know what you think. Do you think that the weight should be similar for a liar versus somebody that may have used a word that he shouldn't have?
Probably not. I would think that...
Are you weighing it differently?
Yeah, I think I am.
For the liar or for the person that says the hate speech?
I'm putting... And I'm sure this is going to make people upset, but I don't want to I have an opinion. I don't want to hide that opinion from y'all. I think if you use the racial slur, then your punishment should be higher.
okay,
than if you're a liar. Just because I think, like, I don't know. It just, it feels worse for whatever reason. That's just intrinsically what I feel, and people can disagree. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation. So I'm glad that you asked that. One thing I do kind of disagree with, and I've seen some people text in there, and like, we can disagree and still have a chat and it's all fine and well, is people are saying, well, black people call other black people that. That's not the same.
Nah.
And surely we have to all be able to see that that's not the same. And I'm not here to judge how, like, one particular race talks to another particular race. But if you don't see how black people saying that to other black people, hopefully at least that they know, or maybe not, how that's not different than a white person saying it to a black person, it is. It definitely is. You just have to know that.
I think I brought this up with you recently, and this is a completely different situation now. But my kid came home from school and said that one of his friends gave a white kid
the N card.
The N card.
Yes, my son brought that up to me because he said it was going around at his school.
The pass.
Yeah, I was like, nope.
And I was like, hey, don't be stupid, because that's not a real thing. And he was like, no, but he said it was okay to say that word today. And I was like, no, let's not use the word, because that's more important, right? Like, let's not use that word. And also, somebody doesn't know anything about that. So be smarter than that. So, but this has become, and I know people are taking two separate sides on this now. And that's one of the things that becomes so divisive. But Kevin, I think somebody that said the NFL doesn't want people to know the truth.
I agree with that. I do.
If it's what?
Okay, because think about it. Look, Myles Garrett just holds a lot more as a name than Mason Rudolph. So if he's lying about this, it really doesn't look great for the NFL to have a former number one draft pick from not that long ago being proven to be a systematic liar. And you kind of wonder, like, whatever other baggage that he has that comes along with that. But on the flip side, if Mason Rudolph got smashed in the head by a helmet because he called somebody the N-word, then that's really problematic for them, because then all of a sudden people are going to, like, oh, so you're going to punish him for standing up for his heritage? Or people are going to be like, well, you have to punish him because he could have killed somebody. And, like, that is a huge problem for the NFL. I do kind of agree with that.
From the 512, if he's lying, that I'd suspend him for another season. Instead of taking the punishment and moving on, he's trying to pull some BS now.
And I do want to point out, I don't want people to think that, like, I'm just dismissing if he's lying. Look, I think this is a giant problem as well. If Myles Garrett is out there pushing a false narrative to try to cover up why he tried to maybe potentially kill someone out on the football field, because he was like, well, I'm going to say that he was a racist. That is obviously a huge problem, and that speaks a lot to the character of Myles Garrett. I don't know who is telling the truth, but I think we can all agree on this. Somebody is lying. Like, Mason Rudolph or Myles Garrett are absolutely lying. Either he called him the N-word or he did not. There could be no weird compromise or anything like that. One of them is lying, and I believe that the NFL has the audio, and they're like, nope. Because I'm not making this a bigger thing again.
It doesn't make sense for a lot of the teammates to have stood up for him. Because I guarantee you, if there's a teammate in the Steelers locker room that heard that, they're not having his back afterwards. That's not going to work that way. Just because your teammates doesn't mean anything in that situation. That extends beyond the playing field. So I think, yeah, you're right, Kevin. Somebody is lying. And as you can see on the fan text, it stirs the conversation and it's divisive. But that's one of the reasons I think, Kevin, we talk about this all the time. We like for our show to be a big bar table, and we want everybody to pull up a seat at the bar, and we want everybody to come in here and have their conversations, and we can do it the right way. And I'm hoping, and it looks like a lot of people have great opinions.
Which is awesome, because I love these conversations because, okay, let's say we're on the opposite ends of the spectrum about everything. well, maybe I can learn more about what you think and you can learn more about what I think. And not that we have to agree, but at least I can get a sense for your, like, sense of mind. But if you call somebody, you're like, you're an idiot or you're a racist, like, that's going to shut down your conversations most times.
G-Bag played some audio recently, Kevin, and it was really, and I know we're running a little behind here, but it was really funny because you said, how can you not know? How can you be so dumb to not know why that offends somebody or why something is offensive? But G-Bag played the other day this audio of a guy that was giving a speech about being from Mexico and what his kids have to deal with. And then another guy was sitting down and he goes, why'd you come from Mexico in the first place? And then looked around the room like, what did I say? How was that offensive? And everybody in the room was like, are you kidding me? And he was like, what? I have no clue. It just doesn't. But again, some people, man, they're in a bubble. They're in their own bubble.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you again, Tolo's excellent, excellent amount of feedback on that topic. Coming up next, NBA All-Star Saturday night. Are you going to watch? And maybe more importantly, could we make you some money? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC masterpiece and Mike Bassick just hopped into studio with us. Mike Bassick did. And then he left.
What?
Yeah, he left immediately.
It's nice that he showed up for work for a little bit.
Yeah, he...
You know?
That guy right there.
A few hours late.
That guy right there. He'll show up and then he'll be like, I don't know if I want to be here. I don't know if I want to be here today.
Yeah, get used to it.
Oh, he's back!
Hey, he's back!
I sometimes feel like, you know, giving my opinion, and then if I don't like what you guys say, sometimes I just walk out on the show.
But that's part of conversing.
Oh.
You got to talk. You can't just leave.
Yeah.
Mike?
I'll work on that.
Okay. That's I appreciate all the growth you're displaying already. Thank
I'm
you
I'm headed
very
to
much.
Premier Grilling in Frisco, if I can get grilling out.
Yeah.
So if you want to see me for the last time ever on the G-Bag Nation,
gonna miss you.
Premier Grilling in Frisco from 2 to 7.
Well, I mean, we're going to do other stuff
he
with
said,
them.
He said on the G-Bag Nation, don't kill
we'll
his
have
tease.
Cross talk with
no,
them.
No, you'll never see him again with G-Bag. So you better get your ass out to Frisco.
Last thing, I got to go to Frisco. Starting Monday, I'm in it to win it.
Son of a...
That's good.
That's what the whole first segment should be. Is a recap of that moment. If the Rangers are going to the World Series, we're in it to win it.
A, we should just find the audio. And B,
there's no chance we have that.
B, we should name our show that, In It to Win It.
Okay. Pretty sure it's still going to be called the KNC Master.
All right, that sounds good. That is Mike Bassick. You will hear him out at Frisco's Premier Grilling with the G-Bag Nation today. His final show with them as Broadus joins them on Monday. Kevin, we have NBA All-Star betting odds, and you know how much we love betting.
Hell yeah, I love betting.
Do we love betting more than Sean and RJ?
Yes.
I listen to their show every single morning, and there are at least 3 betting topics a day.
Oh, okay, I guess maybe not.
877-881-1053.
You want to compare resumes?
I bet we do. How about that? But what I also want to know, along with all of this, is do you still care about NBA All-Star Saturday night? Because honestly, 877-881-1053, let us know about that. Honestly, when I was a kid, man, this was such a stop down for me and my friends. Like, we would all get together, we would watch NBA All-Star Saturday night, and that was like the height of awesomeness, right?
Right.
But is that still the case anymore? Because obviously you have 8 quadrillion, that's right, I said that, different entertainment cotillions. Different entertainment options, and some of the star power from the dunk contests, at least, is obviously gone. Do you think people still get interested in all this?
In the dunk contest?
In just the whole extravaganza Saturday.
Yeah,
night.
Absolutely, man. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep doing this thing. Maybe I'm wrong about that, because we just have Rick Bucher on a little earlier today, and he said that this has turned into less of the event and more of the event.
Like the business.
All the other stuff that goes on inside. Like the Tech Summit, Kevin, when I said it's the hottest ticket, I think there are only like 200 tickets to that thing. And he said you can't have a ticket. Like, it's impossible to find. You have to know somebody that knows somebody to get into that thing.
Yeah.
I read a whole story on CBS Sports about this the other day. It is I think that's where they had one of the first like holograms show up and do an interview, and it's wild the amount of things that they're able to do there because it's the new technology that's not just coming out in the NBA, but that's going to be coming out all over, and there are a lot of people in that room – that are very influential into what that technology is going to do because they got tons of money.
And I feel like the like necessity to watch it live has been killed, especially for the dunk contest, by like Twitter and social media, because you can look at it and you can see it. You can see the finished product without all of the missed dunks. I mean, typically TNT or ESPN or whatever is pretty good about uploading it super quick. Now, I think that the three-point contest, you know, you need to watch it live because there's more like down to the second, down to the last second
they don't
pressure,
just show that
right?
One three-pointer and you're like, yay.
Right, exactly. And I'd say the same thing for the skills competition. So
the skills competition, I got betting odds. Do you want to start with?
Can I hold on? Let me ask you a question real quick about what you just said, Shippy.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this, and I forgot to do this as a topic, but who do you think – and it was – who's the international show, Ross Tucker and Briggs, Home and Home? They presented this topic, I believe, yesterday. Who's the more important viewer or the more important fan to the NFL or the NBA or whatever? The fan at home watching on TV or the fan at the stadium?
No, it's the fan at home. I don't think it gets even close.
Is the Twitter fan – is important to them yet?
Yes. For the NBA, probably more than I would argue any other.
Yeah, NBA Twitter is the strongest of all the sports Twitters.
So, I mean, I would say for sure. And it's just this, and this is something that goes back to, like, you know, Jim Ross. He would always talk about, well, you want to get an ass every 18 inches, and that's the size of the seat. And he's like, you need to fill that up. But he goes, but think about it. Are you just playing to the arena, which is 18 to 20,000 people, or are you playing to the 4 million people at home? Like, that's the difference right there. So, this feedback is really fascinating. From the 469, no, I don't care for it anymore. It's not the same. From the 469, I'm 29. Basketball is my first love, and I've been disappointed with the All-Star weekend since Jason Richardson was in the – didn't expect to hear that name today – was in the dunk contest, but you best believe I watch it every weekend. And from another 214, dunk contest is semi-watchable, but the only reason I'm watching this year is to see Luka and them honoring Kobe. All right, and I think that's going to be a big player. And if you never caught the rules, so this year, every quarter in the actual game on Sunday is going to be played for charity. First three quarters, they start 0-0. The team that wins each quarter, they get $100,000 to donate to a charity of their choosing. And then the fourth quarter, it'll be untimed, and the teams will play to a final target score, which is adding 24 points to whatever you were at. So obviously adding the 24 points in honor of Kobe. So, like, if it was 110 to 105, the one team would need 134 to win. The other team would need to score 29 points to try to catch them. So that part is all kind of factored in. So do you want to start with the skills challenge, the three-point challenge, or the slam dunk contest?
Wait, hold on. What about the celebrity base basketball game? Is that going on?
I saw betting odds that Michael Wilbon's team were favored by like 3 points, but I don't actually know those rosters offhand. I have to admit, the celebrity game does not usually interest me.
Oh, why not?
It doesn't.
Is Snoop Dogg in it? Because then I'll probably watch.
Bad Bunny's in it. He was recently in the Super Bowl halftime show.
That's
so,
right.
You know, there's going to be some controversy there. Common is going to be on Wilbon's team.
You know, Russell Wilson's cheering for the other team.
Hannibal Buress, Kane Brown, John Batiste, Alex Moffitt, Chef Jose Andreas, Famous Los, Quentin Richardson is going to be on one of the teams. Chance the Rapper from Chicago, by the way. Quavo, Taylor Bennett, Royce Hawkins.
That's future, not Common.
Anthony Adams. Who is a former NFL tackle, Mark Lasry, Ronnie 2K, and some other people as well. Darius Miles is also on that team. So there you go, Kevin. There is the celebrity death match tonight.
Okay. Yeah, first thing I saw from the 469, celebs play tonight. I am hyped. And then a couple people are suggesting a one-on-one tournament during that. I mean,
they would never do that.
Because people would be embarrassed.
They don't want to get embarrassed. Yes. Man.
And
I'm
like,
nobody.
We brought up social media earlier, like, every player is just trying not to be on the wrong side of a meme.
The second Harden got his ankle broken or whatever.
Yeah.
But you'd watch it, right? If that's
100%,
what happened?
100%.
Don't you think it's interesting Kawhi called out LeBron earlier this year for never guarding him in the games, for not guarding him? And now LeBron even protected himself by drafting Kawhi.
I'm a fun guy.
He even drafted Kawhi so he wouldn't have to guard him in the All-Star game. Is there a chance? All right, what are the betting odds on Kawhi posting up on LeBron in a game?
I don't have those betting odds. I just have
even though they're on the same team.
Three main things. They post up like every possession so probably, for the All-Star game.
Probably not team, super Kevin. Well.
All right, go ahead.
Slam dunk contest. Favorite? Aaron Gordon, former winner. Next up.
Did you just see the Zach LaVine? LaVine?
LaVine.
Did you just see the video?
Is he going to be in it now?
He's doing some special dunks just in practice.
So does he like.
Is it a surprise?
I mean,
is he
going to
surprise people
one, Aaron,
and show up?
Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine was a really awesome
dunk
contest.
One was awesome. And it's not like if LaVine just showed up, they'd be like, sorry, we're full. We got Pat Connaughton.
And
like,
it's in
they
Chicago.
They would let him in.
It's in Chicago.
And you know what? I don't think Chicago has any representative because the closest was going to be Derrick Rose, who used to be
in
Chicago, obviously, and he's not going to be there anymore. So you've got Aaron Gordon, frequent Mavericks target. You have Derrick Jones Jr., who I'm pretty sure plays for the Heat. He's second at 2-1. Pat Connaughton with the Bucks is third. He's 4-1. And then also former winner, Dwight Howard is fourth.
He's still got hops.
5-1.
Or is he just creative in a name?
Yeah, I think, you know what I've realized? I think the second part, being a name, because if you ever watch this, like, you'll see Pat Connaughton will like try to get the crowd hyped up, and they'll be like, yeah, okay. All Dwight Howard has to do out there is walk out and put a Superman cape on, everyone will be like,
who's walking out there and putting an MJ cape? And I guess that's
the
question.
LaVine makes the most sense.
Are there more MJ jerseys or more Kobe jerseys in this dunk contest?
Probably Kobe, but I'll tell you what. You could shut it down in the finals if Zach LaVine came out, put on an MJ jersey, and then fired up, I Believe I Could Fly. And
play that song still?
I don't know if you're allowed to play that song anymore. And we play Michael Jackson songs. And then he just does like a free throw line or free throw line esque dunk. He'll win.
From the 214, haven't all the dunks been taken? And they take like 10
no.
tries to get one.
Yes, that part is true. That I hate the repetitiveness when they miss. But no, all the dunks have not been taken. I've seen some awesome ones on YouTube this week. And then NBA 3-point, Joe Harris is the favorite. And then Trae Young, David Bertans, Duncan Robinson, Devin Booker, Buddy Hield, Zach LaVine. So he will be there. And Devontae Graham. And then for the skills challenge, Spencer Dinwiddie is the favorite, followed by Chris Middleton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jason Tatum, who's taken over the NBA world, Pascal Siakam, Domantas Sabonis, then Patrick Beverley, and Bam Adebayo to finish it up. So there are your betting odds. And man, if you think like Adebayo could win, he's like 10-1. So you could get some serious cash up in this place. Excuse me, he's 12-1, as is Devontae Graham in the 3-point shooting contest. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the controversial topic from the mind of Corey Majors, or
what?
Maybe it's based off of a story.
Oh, no.
Could the Rangers challenge the Orioles as the worst team in the American League? We'll talk about that next right here on The Fan. But before we get to that, maybe you're like, you know what's the worst in the league? My finances.
Ugh.
Well, it doesn't have to be that way for all of 2020. Is there going to be some tough things happening? Are you going to have to make some cuts? Yeah, you got all kinds of things that could happen. But the biggest thing that could change your financial outlook for 2020, you go to DallasTexasLegal.com or you pick up that phone and call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than starting a new year, looking at what's going to be going on for the next 12 months.
And already
yourself,
being behind,
yeah,
right?
I can't do anything because I don't have to pay all this debt off. And somehow I have to get rid of it. And you know what? You can do that. You just call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS and end all the thoughts of that and all that weight that's going to be sitting on your shoulders the entire year. Don't talk to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. Talk to Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. He's a passionate sports fan. He's local, and he's one of us, and he can help. Call Mark Rubin right now, 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.